I got to be honest, this series has just been something that has been on our heart and something we've been really excited for just as we go into summer here. And we just God did some powerful things in first service today as well. But one of the things I've just been praying all week for you specifically for is just in this series, as you look at the bumper that we had through this series called Baggage, did you notice the weight and the baggage in which he was carrying? But did you also notice that he ran into a lot of things, which then in turn affected people around him and even his family? And I think what's interesting about, man, this journey called life is as we walk this out, a lot of times that we get hit with stuff, circumstances and different things mess with us, hit us, but in the same breath, it's interesting because sometimes we know we have a God that's there, and if you don't know that today, by the end of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to know Jesus personally, but I think what happens is, and I think we all do this, is we come to a place that we just feel like we can handle it. And something hits us, circumstances hit us, whether it's finances, maybe it's relational. I think one of the greatest baggage that we carry sometimes is relational wounds. So next week, I'm actually going to talk to you about relational baggage and just help us with that in Jesus' name. And then I want to encourage you also, we're doing this for 4 weeks, but at the end of this series, we're concluding it in a big way. One of my pastors, my friends, Pastor Aaron Jane from Southern California is going to be here. And this guy, man, you talk about baggage and things that he's been through. He graduated from the LA Dream Center, and he's going to be with us, but now he's pastoring an amazing church, but he's going to speak on a message of staying free. And so how do we do that? But I want to just encourage us during this, the next few weeks, just to lock in with what God wants to do in your life. And so I've just been praying that you would just be at a place that you could be honest with God and be in a place that you could be so transparent that whatever he is showing you today, that you would just respond to his prompting and his moving in your life in a powerful way. And so, but what happens when we get hit in this thing called life, we start carrying stuff, and if you're like me, it's real easy sometimes to start carrying additional loads, and then all of a sudden, we've just got this baggage that we're carrying around with us everywhere. I think that bumper video just really depicts a great example of what we see. And so, one of the things about traveling, though, that I do love, I love to travel. Anybody all love to travel out there? I just enjoy it. I love going to the airports, love flying out because I just love watching people. I just think people are funny. I just think it's just so amazing to watch people when you're out and about. But one of the things about traveling is the baggage in which you do carry. And it can be frustrating at times, which is why a lot of people like to just carry on. And a lot of people are getting away from checked baggage and just trying to go to the place of just carrying on. But I almost find, and I think part of the reason why they do that, let me say this, is because they don't want to go down to baggage claim. They don't want to claim their baggage. They just want to, whatever the quickest route is going to be, they just want to, kind of just be up and out of here, so to speak. And so I think one of the interesting things that we see with baggage and carrying on, I find frustrating, is it's tough to put it under your seat. It's tough to put it over in the overhead compartment. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's frustrating. And then you'll find that if it doesn't fit right, you're going to have to check it on anyway. And so it just kind of defeats the whole point of carry-on. So I almost find it more frustrating. But I think one of the important things today that I just want to try to get across in a clear way is one of the greatest ways, I think, to acknowledge where you're at is just being honest and going to the baggage claim. And acknowledging the baggage and some of the things in which you and I do carry. And so one of the other things that when you go to the airport, come on out, wherever Caleb's, he's going to help me with a little illustration here this morning. It's something the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me. I wanted to show you guys this. And so as he's kind of unpacking the baggage, one of the things that you'll see when you go to the airports is the scale. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. And you got to put that bad boy on the scale. And so if it's overweight, then what? You either got to pay a fee, or you're going to have to dig in that sucker and find what's in there that you didn't know was in there. And I think that's what happens with a lot of us. And so when I was praying, this is just something I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me, that as we're looking through our stuff, much like you would at the airport, you start realizing, man, there's more stuff in there than I thought. And I think what happens is sometimes that we come to the place and when different situations and circumstances do hit us, that we start finding, man, I thought I dealt with some of these things, but then to come to find out that, man, I've got some unchecked baggage, some baggage that hasn't been checked yet by the Holy Spirit that I need His help in. And I'm just telling you today, the only thing that can help us to be able to lift off some of that, some of the pressure that you've been feeling for a while, some of the unwanted baggage, unchecked baggage, is the power of the Holy Spirit, everybody. Amen? And so I'm going to share a story with you in a few minutes, just as it relates to this baggage, just personal to my life. But before we do that, I want to get into our first verse here this morning. And this is out of Matthew chapter 11, and this is in the Message Bible. Sometimes I just love how the Message just breaks it down. But Jesus is talking here, and He said this, "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it." I love this next part. "Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." You know, grace is such a powerful thing, and I think oftentimes we miss it. Grace is not a permission slip to sin, everybody. Grace, in all that it is able to help us move beyond where we're at. Grace does what we cannot do on our own. And so it's powerful, and so we got to understand that. And it goes on to just say this, that Jesus said, "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you." I just feel like somebody needs to hear that today. "Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Everybody say, "Live freely and lightly." Man, that's a great way to do life. And so, you know, as we're looking at this message today, my heart is for us as a people, as a church, man, that we got to stay healthy. Man, if we're going to help change culture and set culture, we've got to be healthy. And so when our souls are healthy, we're going to set culture. We're going to change culture, and culture won't change us. When our souls are healthy, we always give the benefit of the doubt to God. And so in times of circumstances and when negativity or pressure comes your way, my question for us, and I just want you to think about this today, is which way do you lean when you're hit with stuff? Do you lean into your relationship with God, or do you lean away from the plan and the purpose of God in your life? And I think oftentimes we just get what we expect. And even for some of us, some of the relational wounds that we've had, man, we're just waiting to be hurt again because that's our expectation. But I just want you to know so much how much God loves you and His desire to bring freedom to your life and to lift that off of you in Jesus' name. So here's my question for you. All right, you don't have to answer this out loud, but this is what I want you to think about. What baggage are you carrying today? What are some of the things? Maybe it's baggages. Maybe it's more than one. Maybe there's some things that you're carrying today. I want to just kind of work through some things, and you'll see in your notes that I think at some point that we may be carrying or have carried or are carrying even right now. So jot this first one down, then. This really first baggage that I think a lot of us can carry at time, and that's unfulfilled expectations. And have you ever been in a place that maybe somebody has promised you something, or maybe you just had an expectation of things going one way, but it actually went a totally different way? Ever been in that kind of moment where you've dealt with that and the great disappointment that it is? Scripture talks about it in Proverbs 13. It says that hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. Man, when you experience disappointment, you experience some sickness. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about today, but you experience some frustration and great disappointment. But it goes on to say, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And let me just kind of flip the script, so to speak, because I think the other side of why we struggle with unfulfilled expectations is because we just have a wrong view of life. I think that oftentimes that we see, we feel like heaven should be on earth here, and we see earth as heaven, and it's just not going to work out that way. You know, Jesus said, on this side of eternity, you and I are going to have troubles, but to fear not, for He has overcome the world, everybody. Amen? And so I think that's a part of it. Here's another one that I think that many of us deal with, and that's untreated pain. Untreated pain. And I just believe this by far, that most of the wounds that you and I have or are dealing with even right now have come from another person. I think a lot of what we deal with is through sometimes words and things that are said about us and to us. And wounds sometimes, here's even what I know, that we have tried to blow off and act like it's not a big deal. When in reality, when we're faced with the same situation with someone else, all of a sudden, man, this unchecked baggage from years ago rears its ugly head again. And all of a sudden we realize, man, I really didn't deal with what I thought I dealt with years ago, but I realize there's some untreated pain in my life. I know that today I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to help treat that pain. Jeremiah 6:14 says it this way, great way to say it. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Like, that verse, it says a lot to me, because I've been in seasons of my life where I've been frustrated, man, like mad even. And I appreciate people that are encouragers, because Lord knows we need more people that encourage. But man, there's some moments it's just like, man, I'm just not looking for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just let me deal with it a little bit here, you know? And when you get people say, you know, like, you know, just let go and let God, you know what I mean? And I just want to karate chop them in the throat. I'm just like, just shut your mouth for a minute. Let me process, and then you can encourage me, all right? And so I just don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but sometimes I just need a moment, you know, let me work on this. And that's really what that verse is saying. It's people trying to treat it as something not serious, when really in reality, in your heart, what's happening is serious. And what's happening is ultimately keeping you from God's best for your life and even for your family. And here's a big one: our unresolved yesterdays. And if I could encourage you in anything today, I just want you to know this, that God desires to deal with your yesterdays. That we need to, for some of us today, here's what I know. For some of us, it's our marriages today. Let me just talk just for a second. For some of us, there's been conflict. For some of us, there's been things said in our families and our marriages that we need to get that baggage checked today. We need to allow the Holy Spirit. For some, you may have had some time within your marriage that you're not talking like you used to. It's time to allow the Holy Spirit to resolve our yesterdays, everybody. Can you say a good amen? And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. And so we have conflicts that just go unattended. And then ultimately what it does is bring great delay into our life. Ephesians says this, chapter 4. Verse 26 and 27, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Another version says, don't give the devil a place. Don't give him a place in your life. Because ultimately, what baggage does, and as we go on throughout life and not dealing with things, more and more things just attach itself easily to us because we don't deal with it. And because we don't allow the Holy Spirit just to work on those areas in our life, and we end up holding onto it way too long. And I've heard this said, and it's drove me crazy, this saying. And it's a horrible saying, and they say it at some funerals I've been at, and I don't say this, but they'll say things like, well, time will just heal all pain. No, it won't. Because here's the truth. The only thing that can heal and through time is the power of the Holy Spirit, everybody. And that's what I'm just encouraging us today. Allow the Holy Spirit permission in your life to just work on things with you. I'm just telling you, it's a lot harder to do this life without God. And I can't even want to think about doing this life without him. So you've got to make a decision to not allow the past and of the yesterdays to become a prison for your future. And we've got to make decisions that say, God, I want all of you, and I want you to have all of me, not part of me. God's looking for all of our heart, everybody. And I just encourage you, give in and to surrender to what God is saying and to what God is doing. You know, I told you there was a time that I had some unchecked baggage. And I'll never forget this, because there was a moment in my life. I was about 19, 20 years old. I was a single guy, come on, working guy, had my own apartment. Come on, somebody, all right? Amen, amen. Working hard, have my own place. That's good for all the men. Amen, all right? Trying to help you, ladies. All right, anyway. But what had been happening, so, man, the Holy Spirit was just dealing with me. And I'd go to church services, and, man, I was a part, and I was serving. I was leading all those awesome things. But I remember there was still stuff, unchecked baggage that I still had that I hadn't dealt with. And I remember one night I came home from work and I stepped into my apartment. And I closed the door behind me. Man, I heard the Spirit of God. And I don't hear the voice of the Lord all the time in my life. But man, there's moments I do. And when he speaks, you better listen. Man, he just spoke to me. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. He said, Kyle, if you don't deal with these things, this will destroy your life, your future family, and your future ministry. And man, I'll just be honest with you, everybody, I broke. And a lot of the reason why I broke, because I was scared. For those that don't know this part of my story, I was molested in the church multiple times in a closet at the age of 8 and 9. And it happened more than once. And it was awful. And then from that, drove me into a place and a lifestyle of pornography. And I felt trapped. I felt like, man, nobody's going to understand. My parents didn't even know I was molested. Nobody knew. And I was crying out to God. And I told God, God, I don't even know. I don't even know where to start. Who's going to listen to me, believe me? And all I can tell you this, everybody, I've tried to explain this, and I just don't have the words to explain it. But in that living room in my apartment, I'm telling you, man, something happened in me. The presence of the Lord came in that living room and did something on the inside of me that I cannot even put in words to you, but only that, man, I had an experience with God, and he drew himself close to my mess and my issues. I knew he wasn't scared of it. I mean, I just heard the Lord just say, you got to talk, though. You got to tell someone. I didn't even know who to tell. So my first phone call was to my parents, my mom, my dad, and of course it wrecked them, man. They didn't know this. It was hard. And then I saw some of our leaders and our church and just cried out, and man, they loved me. And then I got some professional Christian help outside of the church to help me. But can I tell you something, man? I'm free today. I'm free today in Jesus' name. And I'm so glad for that. And I'm just telling every single person in here, it doesn't always have to be the way it's been, that God desires to move and to break that thing in your life in Jesus' name. Don't believe in the lies of the enemy that it's always going to be this way, because it doesn't have to, that you can be free in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. And so from that, I just made a decision. I thought, you know, I'm not going to carry baggage with me. I'm not perfect. I've got to check baggage a lot still with the Lord at times. But man, I'll just tell you this. I just don't allow things to get to me as easily as they used to. I learned to deal with things, and things like unforgiveness, envy, jealousy. Man, they're checked at the door. Settling issues quickly is important. I'll even say it this way. You got to forgive people quick. Man, if you don't, the tendency of that thing staying on you and festering with you will mess you up. I'm just telling you, unforgiveness and bitterness is an ugly thing, and it traps people. It is a lie of the enemy. And then what happens is, when we don't deal with that unforgiveness, it's hard to trust any relationship with anybody again. But thanks be to God for his forgiveness and freedom. And I'm so glad that he gives us second chances. And as much as Jesus forgives us and releases us grace, we must do it for other people, no matter what has happened. And no matter, you've got to make that decision, because I'm telling you, you'll always be tested. Why? Because people are messy, y'all. Like, we stinky people, like, for real. We just stink. We got areas we stink at. We're always trying to get better. And so we just got to remember that. But let me even say it this way. That's why you can't drive your car going forward while you're looking backward in the rearview mirror. Some of us have gotten stuck trying to drive and walk this thing out looking in the rearview mirror. I'm just telling you, man, the Holy Spirit today said, let me work. Give me permission to come into your heart. Give me permission to minister to those things, so that when you have moments with other relationships or anything else that may remind you of the past, it's not going to bring up a defense mechanism. It's going to bring a release in Jesus' name like never before. That's the kind of freedom that God has for us. And that's the kind of freedom, man, I'm just telling you. Listen, you have to wear this life like a loose garment. This life is so short. It's not worth it. It's just not. All right, I got to move on. Drop this next one down. And that's an unhealthy view of yourself. This is another baggage. Say, man, why would you put that in there? Because I think this is baggage people carry. I think there's some that may struggle with self-esteem. They struggle with looks and always beating themselves up. Then I think there's others that are totally obsessed with themselves. And you think everyone's thinking about you. And I just would say, relax. They're not all thinking about you, okay? And hear my heart in this. Hear my heart. Romans 12:3. Look at this verse. It's important. It says, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us. Look at this. Not by what we are and what we do for him. Man, isn't it awesome to know you don't have to earn it, prove it? Man, God just loves you and I the way he does. It's a free gift. This thing called salvation that he gives us is free. His love, unconditional. And I just want you to know, God makes no mistakes with his kids. He doesn't. I feel like somebody needs to hear that today. You're not a mistake. God knows exactly what he's doing. Guess what? He's a father to the fatherless. Man, I haven't experienced it, but I'm just telling you, your heavenly father loves you. You can experience the real love of a father. I realize we're coming up on Father's Day next weekend. I just feel like somebody needs to hear that too today, man. You can know and experience that love from your Heavenly Father, though, and experience it not just for a moment, man, but whatever time you got left on this earth. God loves you and I so much. If he had a big refrigerator in heaven, your picture would be on it. I'm convinced of it. And maybe he does. Who knows? Here's the other thing. Jot this down. Is unrepented sin. Unrepented sin. I think almost no one bears a heavier load than the carrier of personal secrets, whether you're past or you're present. And I believe we're only as sick as our secrets. It's why we need relationships, everybody. It's why we had our rally day for small groups. It's why we're a church of small groups, not a church about them. And we do it. I lead small groups too as a pastor, and it's just our heart. Why? Because relationships are vital. Let me just tell you this. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. I'm just telling you, without God and people, this baggage I carried would have never been checked. I would have never been up on this stage ever had I not went to God and went to people. I'm telling you, you go to God for forgiveness, but you go to people for healing. And that's part of God's plan in the earth today. And we have to embrace those relationships in our life. You know, Psalm chapter 32, David was in a really just awful moment in his walk, because here he slept with Bathsheba, then ordered that her husband be killed. And he's dealing with this baggage, unrepented, really, sin that he did, so much so that, man, God ended up sending the prophet Nathan to just kind of wake his tail up a little bit and say, hey, bro, we got to get with it. But here is how he was feeling before he checked his baggage. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Selah, which just means think about it. Not unconfessed. I think a lot of times we tell God we're sorry, but God's looking for repentance in our heart. And let me just define what repentance is. Repentance just literally means a change of direction. So for some of us, this baggage, this junk is the thing we need to repent from. And God is saying it's a change of direction. So you're literally turning from something to something. You're turning from that mess to God's help and to who he is in our life and the relationship that he so desperately wants with us. And I just feel like for some of us, we need a change of direction. It's time. It's time that we get honest with God, and it's time that we get honest with people, because for some of us, it's like, man, we'll go weeks, and all of a sudden we find ourselves tripping up again. Man, we go a month, and then all of a sudden, man, we're tripping up again. What we need is lasting freedom in Jesus' name, and that's only going to happen between a relationship with God and with people. And then let me just say this, relationships, not just any people, man, but people that love God more than you do. People that you can be honest with. Relationships that are going to build you up and love on you. And, you know, somebody asked me one time, said, man, well, how would you define unhealthy relationships? And I would just kind of define it this way. Any relationship that is taking you away from God's best in your life. That would be my definition. And so when you see that, you need to make some decisions. And some of us are in relationships even that may need redefined. And we need to be mindful of those relationships that are happening. So, man, I can't talk to them anymore. Man, that's kind of mean. That's not love. No, here's what it is. It's wise. It's wise to protect you. And you've got to, guess what? You've got to stay accountable for you, all right, and your relationship with the Lord. So how do we do this? How do I get rid of the baggage? How do I check this in? I think one of the great things about going to an airport is once I check in the baggage. Of course, I pray it gets to the baggage claim later on, but it's when I let go of it and check it in. And I want to give you today the Bible word for baggage. And we're going to look at this. The Bible word for baggage is stronghold. And for some of us, that stronghold is that one area that you're finding is always sticking with you and you're not getting over it. It's that one area in your life that you find it's tripping you up and you've been upset. Have you ever been to a place that you've been that way? Maybe it's been days and weeks, and all of a sudden, man, you're tripping up again and you're getting more frustrated. I'm just telling you, God has a plan, and his plan for your life is freedom. He wants you to know freedom in your life and to live this out. And so 2 Corinthians says this, chapter 10, for though we lived in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power, I love this, to demolish strongholds. So in your notes, I put this, the Greek word in of strongholds. The word is akrama, if I'm even saying it right. But nonetheless, here's what it means, and here's the importance of this. It means this: a prisoner that is locked by deception. Or another kind of definition of it is living life by something that is just not true. And that is one of the greatest plans of the enemy, is to try to get us, that's his game plan for you and I, to deceive us. Scripture calls him the father of lies. And for some of us, we have believed the lie that this will never change. For some of us, we've believed the lie that it's always going to be this way. It's been in my family for generations, so I'm always going to struggle with it. Granddaddy struggled with it. Daddy struggled with it. I'm going to struggle with it. My kids are going to struggle with it. So we believe these things that are not God, and it's not his plan for you and your family. But his plan is freedom. God's looking for some people who's going to step up to the plate and say, baby, the buck stops here. It's ending in this generation, and it's not going to my kids. And I'm just telling you, you can have that. But it's going to take honesty. It takes a man, takes a woman of God. Listen, to get honest. To get honest with God. And that's what he's looking for in our life. I love how the next part of this verse here in verse 5 says this. It says, we demolish arguments, 2 Corinthians 10, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You want to change your life? You got to change the way you think. It's that stinking thinking that we got to rid ourselves from, that stinking thinking. Romans 12:2 says this, to do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, for me personally, I find that renewing of my mind almost pretty much a daily thing for me. Getting up, man, just giving the day to God, but God, take care of my mind. Because y'all, our minds is what gets us in trouble. I mean, it is the root of really the greatest battlefields that you'll ever be in is all right here. That's why renewing your mind, asking and inviting the presence of God, Lord, invade, Lord, take over my thoughts. I'm not going to be controlled by other things. What I want, God, to you to have complete control over even the way I think. All right, still not convinced? All right, let me give you another verse. Ephesians 4 says, you were taught to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new, and the attitude of your minds. I know I'm spitting a lot of truth, but here's the key for you today. Your job is to believe this. You got to take God at his word and believe this. He said this in John 8:32. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. How many desire freedom? I mean for real, like desire freedom in your life. Amen. I want to give you a couple things and just kind of close out this message today. Just real practical. And you may think, man, this is really simple, but I think it's important that not only reminded, but sometimes it's the simple things that are the most powerful that we forget. First of all, you need to remember how much God loves you. Like, you need to know. You don't have to earn anything. God loves you so much. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your life, whatever baggage you may be carrying today, guess what? He loves you. He loves you enough that he's talking to you even in this service today, reminding you of some things. Man, we got to get that checked. We got to check the baggage today. And for some of us, religion has lied to us for so long. Some of you may have even known the Bible. You may not. But you're still in this place like you feel like you got to prove something to God. And I'm just telling you, you don't have to prove nothing to him. He's not looking for you to prove anything. And just be released of that in Jesus' name today. You just come to him. That's it. It's a relationship. You know, even when my wife and I, when we disagree, because Lord knows we have disagreements. All the married folks said a good amen, right? But you know what? And I don't treat her any different. She doesn't treat me any different. You know, even when we have moments and baggage, guess what? Man, we're a team in this. We're going to figure things out. And the love, though, that we have for each other, man, it's the same thing with God. Like, it doesn't scare him. He's not intimidated by our situations or our mess, and I'm so glad for that. And I'm so glad for his word that says this in Psalm 34, that the Lord is close. I feel like, man, this is a scripture for somebody. He's close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Aren't you thankful for a God who's close and who's actually drawn to your brokenness? Think about it. You know, Jesus loves the world, man. Like, even people that don't love him, guess what he's doing right now? Pursuing them. Why? He's drawn to the broken. Think about it, guys. I hope you get that. Because he's drawn to our brokenness. He's drawn to us, and he rescues us. And so, I don't know what your song is. Maybe you like a favorite song and whatever that may be. But I was thinking about this week, that the song of your soul will be the theme of your life. If we plugged you into an outlet tonight, what would be playing on the loudspeakers? Think about it. What would be playing? What's happening in you right now? John 3, 16 and 17. It's great how it says this out of the Message. This is how much God loved the world, that he gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one be destroyed by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help. Come on, look at the person next to you. Tell him he came to help. Come on, tell the other person. Don't forget him. He came to help. Came to help. God loves you, and so you got to start believing that. And you start believing that, you're going to encounter that freedom. And here's the second thing you got to understand, is that God can free you. Man, you got to believe this. I'm talking believe it. God can free you, everybody. God can free you. And for some of us, we need to hear that. Say this with me. Say, I am free. Come on, say it now like you really want it and you really believe it. I am free. Because for some of us, you need to just start declaring that over yourself, even through the week. Whatever's been tripping you up, you need to start declaring victory. Start declaring, I am free in Jesus' name. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. It is the will of God for you to be free, not bound in a prison to some kind of addiction. I'm telling you, it's the will of God for addictions to be broken in our life in Jesus' name, everybody. Come on, some of us have loved ones that's been bound for years in addictions, but it's not going to go to you anymore. It's not going to go to your kids or your grandkids. The buck stops here, and we're going to get honest and serious with God about what he wants to do. I'm preaching good today. All right. Got to believe it. Got to believe it. Romans 8 says this: you no longer have to live under, listen to this, a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power, come on, everybody shout, a new power, is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. I'm here to tell you, don't lose hope today. You can have this freedom in Jesus' name. You can be free. Like, sometimes we just forget we've got baggage, stuff that needs checked. We need to handle it. Man, I'm thankful for men and God, men and women of God in Bethany and I's life, our overseers, our pastors. Man, we run to them. They're there for us. We all need pastors. We need leaders. We need friends to do this life with, because we can't do this alone. I don't want to be the smartest one in the room. Amen. All right. Some of you will get it later. Here's what I know. Jesus was desperate. Even in his hours before the cross, when he was hurting, guess who he ran to? His Father. I remember when Jesus had to take literally his cross and carry it. But part of the story that a lot of people forget is that Jesus had to have help carrying that cross too. Think about it. He was fully God, but fully man. He knows our condition. He knows exactly where we're at and what we're dealing with. And I just think sometimes that I think we think church, and I think church people, unfortunately, have this horrible view, but think that church ought to be like Facebook sometimes. Show the best and hide the rest. I'm just telling you, God's looking for us, to be honest, and just deal with us and help us, and that we can talk about it to people and relationships and in our lives. And can I just tell you, I've always dreamed of a church that we can just come in here on a Sunday and just be honest with our stuff. I don't have to push nothing. I had a hard week, man. My week sucked. It sucked. But let's deal with it. You know, listen, it doesn't even matter what happened last night. God's just glad you're here today. The old things have passed away, Scripture says, and behold, all things have become new. All things. And that's God's plan, is he wants to do some new stuff. I love that my God is interested in doing new things. And so when I realize whatever I'm going through, may be tough, I'm reminded of the cross. And can I tell you something cool? The beauty of the cross is that whatever my need is, I know it's been paid for. Whatever I'm going through, I've got victory over. That's the power of the cross. And then here's the last thing I want to give you this morning. Is number three, is that God will not only free you, but God is going to restore you. He desires to put you back together again. He desires. And I think what has happened is religion has painted an ugly picture. Religion has tried to tell us many times, I mean, you got to come with your stuff all together to God first. Like, have you ever heard anybody ever say, like, man, if I step a foot in church, man, a lightning bolt will hit me. Woo! Have you heard that? Anybody say that? I've heard people say that to me. And I'm thinking, no, man, that's religion. Not our, the God of our Bible that we believe, man, is a God of love. The Bible says he's close to the brokenhearted. So the opposite is true. He's saying, hey, I need you to come with all your stuff and your junk, and here's what I specialize in as your God, because I love you so much. This is what he's saying to us. I'm the one that'll put you together. You can't do that, but I can do it. And I'm here to tell you, God desires to move in your life, to move in your marriage, to move, come on, whatever situation you're facing, let him move in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, his desire is to bring innocence back to you again, purity back to you again, hope back to you again, healing you again, giving you strength again. That's his desire and his heart for you. Amen, everybody? And I love this verse. I want to close with this verse, Psalm 71. Great verse. It says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. Come on, he's going to restore your life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. When I saw that verse this week, here's what I saw for some people in here today, that you're either up or we got a bunch of people getting up. That's what I see. That's why I see a bunch of people that in Jesus' name that are going to make some decisions. It's not just going to be another Sunday. I've been praying that not only will it be a breath of fresh air when you leave here today, but there's some things that the Holy Spirit's shown that it's time. And it's time to start getting honest and bringing these to God's attention and get the help that we need for the freedom that we need. And it's never too late to become what you might have been. And I'm just telling you, today's your day. That God wants to do something brand spanking new in your life, if you'll let him. Come on, I'm gonna pray for you. Will you bow your head right where you're at? God, I thank you so much for the power of your spirit in this place. Come on, just right where you're at, just right on your lap. Just open up your hands right there, just where you're at. God, because here's the thing, Lord, we're desperate for freedom. Desperate, God, to know you more. And I just declare right now, and I just take authority over the enemy, and I just declare whatever's tried to hold you back, that God, that you will begin to move and break that in Jesus' name, that the chains are broken, that you don't have to live in that prison of bondage, but that God desires freedom in your life. So God, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you move on every single person. We just give you permission, Holy Spirit, to now minister to us. Help us. Help us to be honest. Help us to be brave enough and courageous enough to go to you. But Lord, even it may be going to leaders and myself and pastors in this church to get the help we need to begin to move beyond where we're at. And then for some of us, we just need to let some things go. And it's time for that. So Lord, I just thank you for your ministry right now over every person. And if you're here right now, listen, and Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity before you leave this place. You say, Kyle, man, I need that freedom. But you recognize you need Jesus first in your life. You can't do this on your own. You've recognized I've been trying to do this by myself for so long. It ends today. There's some people getting ready to make a decision. Like, for real, you're going to follow Jesus. And then there's some, maybe you just drifted from God. Doesn't matter what's happened. What matters is this moment. And God is here. With every head bowed and nobody looking around for this moment, come on, forget about people on your right or left. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand right now. Come on, all over this place. Just get real honest. Thank you, sir. Awesome. Come on, anybody else that says me, awesome, awesome. Thank you, man. Proud of you. Anybody else that says, that's me. I know I need to put Jesus first. I know before I experience freedom, I need Jesus at the center of it all. Anybody else that says, that's me, awesome. All right, we're going to pray together. And I want all the church, man, I want you guys to pray this strong with these guys that have raised their hand. And even if you weren't comfortable, that's cool. We're going to pray together and just believe this with everything within you and say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you all that I am. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Today is a new day for me. A day of freedom. A day I'm moving forward in God. And Jesus, thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.